This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
An Odyssey Sports Station. The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Quinn and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Quinn Jr.
Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
And Chris Ello.
You can't kick a porpoise when it's down.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Quinn and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Can't believe it. We're already halfway done with the show. We are having a good time talking Padres here. Day after 4th of July. I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. I know I did nothing, as I said earlier today, which was great. I will take that every time. Every single time. If I can do nothing, I will do nothing. And for everybody who is asking if Michael King is a free agent after this year, he is not. He has one more year of arbitration, and then he becomes a free agent. So it's kind of like Cease, where you get 2 years of Michael King, and you get 2 years of Dylan Cease. So Padres are going to have to make some decisions here next season on this pitching staff, or the next offseason on this pitching staff, but that's not what we're going to worry about right this moment. All right, if you wanted to play a sort of trivia, this is not Chris versus the Fans because Chris is not here, but if you do, give us a call, 833-288-0973, and you can get in line. You will be qualified for a trip to Rio Las Vegas, including a two-night stay, dinner for two, and a day bed at the Rio Pool. The Rio Las Vegas is back. New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, 4 sparkling new pools, and a brand new food hall. All ready for you now in your next Vegas escape. Beyond the expected, beyond the strip, beyond your wildest dreams, Rio Las Vegas, the rhythm of Vegas. Book now at riolasvegas.com. I will say, legally, I won a bunch of money on a penny slot at the Rio one time. I love the penny slots. I know I'm not going to make much money off of them, but I still have a great time on the penny slots. It's really fun. I've won big on penny slots twice. And when I say big for a penny slot, like $250 is a huge win for a penny slot. Come on. Yeah, that was just my little addition to the Rio. So this game is going to go like this because it's not Christopher versus the Fans. I'm going to give you two players. Like, for example, I don't want to give the actual first one. I'm going to make up two players. Who had a better batting average, Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig, you know, for whatever season? So you this is all going to be about this season, but you're going to tell me who is the better of the two. And that's how we're going to play this. You get three correct, you'll get the qualification to Las Vegas. Quite honestly, do not have any idea how this is going to go. But this is what we do on this show. We try new things and see if it works.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm sorry to everybody on the chat. I forget the video every once in a while. You can still hear me, but I will make sure I get your video. All right, we've already explained what you're going to win. Here are the, or where there are no rules, right? Basically, for this one, I was just about to read you the Chris vs. the Fans rules. Tell me I'm not a guy of routine without telling me I'm a guy of routine. When I'm basically Ron Burgundy. If you put it in front of me, I'm going to read it. Let's get to our first contestant. Again, if you get three of these in a row correct, you will win the qualification. So let's go to Christian first here. And Christian, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Travy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Do you kind of understand the game a little bit? I'll give you a little bit of leeway on this first one, but it's pretty easy to understand once we get into it.
Yeah, I think so. We're just picking the player based on your question, right? You're going to give me two options?
Yep, correct. All right, here we go for question number one. Who has a better batting average right now, Jurickson Profar or Shohei Ohtani?
Jurickson Profar
is correct. He has 1 point higher. He's a 317. Shohei Ohtani's a 316. All right, let's move to number two. Who has more home runs on the season, Shohei Ohtani or Christian Walker?
Go Shohei.
Shohei. That is correct. This might be a quicker game than I thought. All right. Here we go to our, let's see. I got to make this one a little bit more difficult because these are easier than I thought. Who has more triples this year? Anthony Volpe of the Yankees or Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds?
I'm going to go with Anthony.
You're going to go with Anthony Volpe?
Yep.
That is correct. So the game is over. Christian, you have won our qualification. Please hang on the line. That was exactly how it's supposed to go for Matt Scraby and his new games. That is the game. So, Christian, stay on the line, and we will get your information here shortly. Now I got to figure out what to talk about for the next six minutes, which is going to be not a big deal because I do have something to talk about. We need to talk about Michael King. Sorry to everyone for that game not going deep into the segment there. But anyway, we'll get back to Chris versus the Fans here on Monday. By the way, Anthony Volpe has 7. Ellie De La Cruz has 6 triples. Ellie De La Cruz is awesome. I love him. He's got 42 stolen bases on the year. He has 14 more stolen bases than the guy in second, which is Bryce Tarang. And he's trying to go for, I was reading something earlier that he might be the first person since like the 90s to have 75 steals in a season, which last year I believe Ronald Acuna had 70 or 71, 73. I just looked it up and he won the MVP because of it. But if Ellie De La Cruz has 75, that will be a whole new level of greatness for Ellie De La Cruz. I think Ellie De La Cruz is really fun to watch. I think he's an awesome baseball player. I think he needs time to develop, a little bit more time to develop. He does strike out a ton, but he does some really, really exciting things. He's only been caught 7 times stealing this year out of the in 42. He has stolen 42 bases, so only been caught 7 times. That's pretty good. Yeah, no, gotta say, Ellie De La Cruz, very, very fun to watch. If you're online right now, we've already given away the prize. I'm sorry. You can hang up because Christian just demolished my game. I thought that was going to be a little bit harder, I got to say. And it may have been a little bit more difficult, but it went in Christian's direction, and I'm not mad at it. All right, real quick, Michael King. And then we're going to talk to Chris at 420 about his day at Torrey Pines. Michael King is 29 years old, so that is something I think the Padres are going to take into account as they look at the future with him. But Michael King, to me, just gets it. He understands what is being asked of him. He understands. He seems like he has a really good way of thinking about things. And he said after the game last night that he said, quote, I knew coming into this year it was going to be a year that I really tried to learn as much as I can about starting pitching and almost proved to myself that I can go that many innings and be a full-time workhorse. But there are a lot of things that I need to do right to be able to go that distance, go 180 innings, go 200 innings. Yesterday was his 18th start of 2024, and entering this year, his entire career, he had made 19 starts. So he's already made almost the same amount of starts as his entire career this year alone. And he went on to say in his conversation with Kevin Acey that if he wants to get to 180 innings or 200 innings, he really needs to stop with the 20-pitch innings, because yesterday he had some times when he was cruising, and then other times it would take him 22, 25 pitches to get out of the inning. And he was saying, like, it wasn't even that I was pitching bad. I would get ahead 0-2, and then I would try to make them chase, and they didn't chase. And so now I'm 3-2, and that just drives up the pitch count, and then they foul a few off, and now I've got 12 pitches on this guy. And it just is not going to help him get to the innings that he wants to. But it doesn't really seem like the Padres are going to have rotation on Michael King. It doesn't seem like that because they're basically not really worried about his arm right now. And he is obviously going to pitch the most innings of his career this year. But this is what the Padres wanted from him when they went to go get him in the Juan Soto trade. They wanted a starter, which they got a starter. And they wanted a guy who wanted to start, which they got in Michael King. And he is someone, he's a cerebral person, is what I was trying to look for earlier. He thinks about things. He thinks about why things happen. And I think that's pretty important. It tells you a lot about him. It tells you how much he cares about his pitching. And it also tells you how much he understands the game of baseball. And it also tells you that he knows that he has room for improvement. And I do love to see that from professional athletes. There have been guys here in town before who have said, I don't want to improve because I've played so long in this league, and why do I need to improve? I'm good. I'm fine. Michael King says, if I can improve, let me know. Bring it on. I want to improve. And Michael King this year, if you take away, if we're going to put up for MVP of the team among the pitching staff, the starting rotation, I would have to say Matt Waldron gets it first, but Michael King is right there, because Michael King, A, has made all of his starts this year, and B, we've seen him pitch very well. If we go back to that Milwaukee game, he ended up taking the L, which is a bummer, but he had a no-hitter going into like the sixth inning or seventh inning. We saw him against the Dodgers here at home when Luis Arraez's first home game. He walked it off. He went toe-to-toe with Tyler Glasnow, and Michael King came out on top. I think he struck out 11 that night. We've seen him strike out guys in double digits at least three times this year, maybe even four times this year. And Michael King is... It seems like Michael King is going to work himself until he gets the results he wants. And I just reading all the things that I read, if you're not signed up for the Kevin Acey newsletter, I got to say you should sign up for the newsletter because it has a lot of awesome information. But it's also really good that they're not thinking about an inning limitation for Michael King. He came into this year as a starter. He's going to exit this year as a starter. And that just builds for next year. And I know we're looking at this year, and Michael King has been as advertised. I don't think anybody could really say, hey, Michael King has not been a good rotation piece for the Padres this year. Mainly because the rotation pieces that they have and the rotation pieces that they were counting on, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, are not there. And so these guys have had to step up. Matt Waldron steps up. Michael King steps up. Randy Vasquez stepping up. And I know I've been a little tough on Adam Major. He is getting better with each outing that he has. But as I said the other day, it has nothing to do with him. I'm just not really willing to watch him. I don't think I'm willing to have his growth be at the major league level and I'm not making any of these decisions, but it seems like he would be better suited in AAA or AA right now. Maybe that's because they just don't have another guy that they trust starting for the team or put in the rotation. I think right now, if you go Matt Waldron, Michael King, telling me this before the year, I would have laughed at you and then punched you and ran away. But now you get to punch me in the face because it's true. Michael King, Matt Waldron leading this team right now. And the fact that Michael King wants to go almost 200 innings tells me that he's going to try his hardest to go 200 innings. And Michael King's start yesterday was, he also says it too, like, he didn't want to come out of the game last night, but he had allowed, or, you know, Mike Schilt gave him a little bit of leash and he wasn't able to shut it down. So they needed to remove him from the game. And he understands that. And like I said, he understands that he can't have multiple 12 pitch at bats in one inning or else he'll never get to the number of innings that he wants. And Michael King can just build on that going forward. All right. When we get back, we are going to talk to Chris Ello about his time out at Torrey Pines. Now, he's very excited. He's texted me a few times about it. So we'll get all of the latest on how he played and what he thought of Torrey Pines South when we get back here on Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here in the 97.3 The Fan Studios. What's your name over there? That was so rude. What's your name over there? Nick is trying to get Chris on the line, but I'm not sure if he hung up on him or what. Oh, we're good. Okay.
I have Chris. Chris is prepared and ready.
All right. Now, I got to say, since I'm holding the floor here right now and Chris has no opportunity to butt in because he's on hold, I gotta say, my guy Chris was very nervous about this Torrey Pines outing that he had today. He was playing the South course, and I want to know everything about it. So, Chris, you were texting me a little bit about it earlier. It sounds like you started on 17, which I immediately texted back a hater comment, and I said, oh, nice long par four to get you started. But tell us how it was. What's going on? How was your 4th of July?
Hello, Matt. I am
Hello, Chris.
I am honored to be a guest on the Scraby Chronicles, first of all.
Oh, yeah. There's only been two in the history, and you're one of them.
There you go. It's almost the highlight of my day, but I have to tell you, the actual highlight was playing Torrey Pines for the first time. It turned out that I was much worried to do about nothing because I Yeah, I realized that I've played enough golf here in the last year or so that my game was okay. And I was able to relax and enjoy myself. It certainly did not hurt that on the second hole for me, which was 18, the iconic finishing hole.
Devlin's Billabong.
Yes, whatever it is. I had like magical three shots that put me 6 feet from a birdie.
Wow.
And I mean, honestly, yeah, Mark Ziegler was like stunned, and so was I. He was like, I thought you weren't very good. I go, I'm not. But I played that hole great. And unfortunately, I missed the putter. I would have had a birdie on 18, and that would have been kind of like a bucket list thing. But,
yeah.
You know, once I got that, I kind of relaxed, and I hit a lot of good shots. My biggest problem was the fact that they have a lot of sand traps guarding those greens. You know, and I found a lot of them, and that cost me maybe 7 or 8, you know, shots on my score. And because honestly, and you know, I'd tell you if it wasn't true, but honestly, I hit a lot of good shots that were, you know, I think heading for the green that bounced a little awkwardly and ended up in the sand. I had that happen 3 or 4 times. Where I felt like I'd hit a really good shot and I was going to be putting for, you know, par or birdie or something, and I ended up in the sand. So, I was really excited. I had a lot of fun. I've never played there before. I want to thank Rick Schloss and everybody at the Junior World Golf Tournament for letting us come out. It was really fun. So,
yeah, why don't you actually tell people like why you were invited out there, the Junior Golf Tournament and everything, because it is a good thing.
The Junior World Golf Tournament's been in San Diego for, you know, years and years, like going back to the 70s, the 60s even. And they bring these young kids from, honestly, all over the world. And it's really something, you know, remarkable to see. They have, I think they have 4 or 5 age divisions now. They have a 15 through 18. They have a 13 and 14-year-old division. 11 and 12, they have, I believe, 8 years, 8 through 10, and then they have 8 and under, or 6 and under even.
And Torrey South?
I honestly think there's a 6 and under category now. And, you know, these kids play at all kinds of different courses all over San Diego, and it's next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is the actual tournament, and Torrey Pines is where the oldest kids play. But you can catch some of this tournament pretty much throughout San Diego. I'm sure if you go on the website, you can go out and see some of these young kids play, and they're the best in the world. And they gave us a program, and in the program it's got the list of all of the winners. I thought the funniest winner of all was 1980 in the 10 and under category, Philip Mickelson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tiger.
Well, Tiger won 6 times. He won a lot. He won
it's
in
ridiculous.
He won in the youngest category. He won in the 11 to 12. He won the 13-14 one year, and then he won the 15 through 18 once. But Jason Day's name was on there.
Wow.
And, there's a lot of, you know, golfers, both men, and again, it's men and women. So, you know, little young ladies are playing as well, and there were some recognizable names that have won on the ladies' side. So if you're a golf, you know, fan, I think it's something you should, you know, think about supporting. You know, if you can get out, it's probably not very much money to get in and watch them play. And they play all over San Diego next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So that's why we were playing. And like I said, I was really worried about it because it was Torrey Pines, and I didn't think I was good enough to really, you know, legitimately be out there, but I was. So that was kind of the highlight of the day. And I thank all of my golf coaches out there, from Matt Scraby all the way to my man Charlie Hoffman. Charlie should have told me one more thing, though, along with being in the fairway and hitting the center of the green. He should have told me to stay out of those sand traps.
Well, the one thing I will say about those sand traps is that they are PGA Tour quality sand traps. So they aren't like hitting off of concrete like we're used to hitting off of with the other
right.
golf courses that we play. You're actually hitting out of sand.
Yes, they were difficult to get out of. And, you know, I think, you know, being this is a PGA course, you know, they place these sand traps very strategically. So, you know, where you want to hit the ball, there's always a sand trap, you know, in front of where you want to hit the ball. And, you know, at least I'm going to say three or four times I hit a shot that I thought was headed right for the pin, right for the, you know, the green, and it caught, you know, a little grass and rolled back into the sand trap. And that happened three or four times to me. So I was a little unlucky, but that's part of the game. You know, you gotta deal with that. So
did you reveal your true score yet?
97 was the score. Kirk Kenny kept score.
Wait, what? You broke 100?
Yeah, but I would say if I had to, you know, to guess, he probably, you know, helped us on three or four shots along the way. But, yeah, he wrote down our score on every hole. I told him what I got. There was a couple of holes where I probably got a snowman, and he might have written a 7, so.
Wow.
Take it for what it's worth.
I don't mind. I don't mind that. I really don't. But I'm glad that you had a good time. It sounds like a great time. How was Kirk Kenny and Mark Ziegler? Were they pretty good?
Well, let's go to Mark Ziegler.
Yes.
Kirk and I are about the same. So, you know, we were similar. But Mark Ziegler has, you know, first, he's very good. He shoots in the low 80s. But his approach game was ridiculous. I honestly think he one-putted like 6 greens in a row.
Dang.
Because his approach shots were landing like 2 feet from the cup. I was starting to really get upset with him, but no, not really. He was really fun to play with, and, you know, if you hear him on our show, he's a really terrific guy. So he did well, and he brought a friend of his whose son is just going into college, and he's on the golf team. This kid shot 76, and he played the back tee. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he was pretty fun to watch him play, too. So
we're talking.
It
to
was
Chris,
a great day.
We're talking to Chris Ello here. He's calling in on his day off. Thank you for doing that, Chris. He's telling us about his day at Torrey Pines. And so which tees did you play, the white, the green?
White.
Okay. Those aren't terrible tees, but if a high schooler is shooting 76 from the tips, that is ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm sure you're aware of this. The pros, when they played like the U.S. Open and when they play Torrey Pines, they tee off from even further than that, right? Sometimes. Not on all the holes, but on some of the holes.
On some
I know like on 16, the pros go over the canyon.
Yeah.
If you play as a, you know, just a weekender, you don't have to go over the canyon, even if you're playing from the tips. But
yeah.
Yeah, this kid was very good, and it was just so fun. And I'm going to tell you, Scraby, I got to work on my game in terms of hitting shots from the fairway because I'm not used to being in the fairway as much as I was today.
You didn't use your rescue club?
I used it all day long. Are you kidding me? It was my savior all day. But, you know, every now and again I didn't hit it the way I wanted to. Because I'm used to hitting my rescue club out of the short rough. You know, I don't drive into the fairway very often, but today I was going into the fairway. It was like crazy. It was so fun.
That is fun. That is really fun.
I recommend everybody get out there at least one time. It's got to be a bucket list thing to play Torrey Pines. And, you know, I don't want to overstate this, but when you're on the fourth, fifth, what is it, sixth, seventh hole?
Yeah.
There's probably not a better view on a golf course in the world, except maybe Pebble Beach or something.
Oh, so, the ones with the cliff, yeah.
You know, those three or four holes that are right along the cliff, that's, you know, you have to take a moment to appreciate that you're out there. So.
Now, which hole was your most difficult hole? Because I was trying not to scare you, but number 12 is the par 4 into the wind. It's like 450 yards towards the beach. I don't know how you did on that one, but...
I believe that was a snowman, but I think it was because I hit into the sand. If you know, I hit 2 good shots on that hole, but the third hole you still had a long way to go because you're you know into the wind, and I ended up lipping into the sand. So
well, don't be too hard on yourself because that's like every year one of the hardest par fours on the PGA Tour. So you can't be too tough on yourself.
Yeah, I remember Ziegler told us on that hole, he said, this should be a par 5, even though it's a par 4. So
Oh, it actually, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah,
he's
I was not hard on myself on any hole. I was so happy to be out there playing and having a good time and, you know, just, you know, getting that opportunity. And you know, you bring this up all the time, but it really is true. When you're out there at Torrey Pines, there's no other sport, you know, that us, you know, amateurs can feel like a professional for one day other than golf.
Yeah.
Right? I'm never gonna stand in the batter's box at Petco and take a swing, and you know, I'm very unlikely to shoot a three-pointer at the Crypto.com arena during a basketball game.
You're very unlikely, not like
I'm very doubtful I'll get to hit a ground stroke on the center court at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
But you can hit a shot from the fairway at Torrey Pines. So it's something that's a lot of fun. How about those Padres, by the way?
Yeah, I was going to ask you before you got out of here.
Are you happy today before I get out of here?
Yeah, go for the Padres. Talk about it. I mean, they went 4-2 on the road trip. They're looking good. They're coming home to play a pretty important series against the Diamondbacks. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Did somebody tell me that they're only 6.5 games behind the Dodgers now?
See, I'm not looking at the stat, or I'm not looking at the standings, but I did know that they're creeping up under 8 at least. So I will go look at the standings to confirm that they're 6.5
games. Yes, they are creeping up on the Dodgers. Look, that might be a long shot, but you know, what Mike Shildt has preached to us and what Manny Machado has preached to all of us all season long is, you know, it's a long, you know, grind, and you know, you just got to play and hang in there, and then, you know, hit one big hot streak, and that's really what they've done. And now they're sitting pretty, but this homestand, 8 games before the All-Star break, if they can have a winning homestand here, they're going to be cruising toward the second half. So yeah, it's exciting, but how are they doing it? They're doing it with mirrors. They have their two top pitchers are out. They have two, you know, star players that make $300 million both out of the lineup. They have, you know, their starting catcher is finally coming back active tonight. And all of these guys, from Profar to Higashioka to Merrill to whoever it might be, David Peralta the other night won the ball game.
Yep.
You know, they're all getting it done. So it's starting to turn into a fun season.
It is. I mean, yes, it was a little rough there in the beginning. I know that we all were taking it very hard because of last year, but it is starting to become a pretty fun season. Now, here's the topic of conversation today is Xander Bogaerts made a rehab start, and so he's going to be back with the team shortly. Where does he fit in this lineup? You can't take out Arraez. You can't take out Donovan Solano. Where does Xander Bogaerts go when he comes back?
You're going to have to take out Donovan Solano.
No!
I mean, you're going to have to. I mean, Manny's going to have to start playing third base regularly. And Kim and, you know, as Rise is going to have to go back to be the DH.
All right.
They're not going to put Bogaerts on the bench.
No. He's got too much money on it.
No, and they're far superior with Jake at first base. And, you know, the only thing you might, and this is, it's a pipe dream, but I think maybe you could play Jake or Xander at shortstop a few games and give Kim a little time off if you want to give Solano some games. But I don't see how you can play it any other way than to send Solano to the bench.
That hurts. But,
yeah.
But like you said, there's other ways to get his bat in the lineup, so.
Oh, he'll get in there from time to time, but I don't think it'll be a regular thing.
That, you know what? I haven't even thought about that. I was like, you can't take out Donovan Solano, but that does make sense, and David Peralta is going to have to fight for time as well. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Well, let's enjoy the weekend. Everybody, I hope, had a good 4th of July. And be nice to Scraby during the Chronicles, because you know I won't be nice to him when we come back on Monday.
All right, I'm ready for it, Chris. I'm ready for it.
All
right. And seriously, thank you for the phone call. And also, great job on Torrey. I will say it live on the air so everybody knows that I am nice to you every once in a while.
Yeah, no, glad you had a good round.
Thank you so much. You helped more than you know.
All right. And the chat says hi. They've been begging me on this call
say hello,
to say
Chris.
Hi to you.
Many hellos
so they want
for
to tell you hi.
Oh, thank you, guys. Well, hi to everybody out there. Have a great weekend. And go Padres. I'll see everybody Monday at 2 o'clock sharp.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. And with that, we are going to head to break because we got a short Big Five when we get back. Thanks to Chris for joining us. And we'll be back shortly, 97.3 The Fan. Back in the Odyssey. Oh, my gosh. Gosh? Did I say, oh, my gosh? I think I said, oh, my gosh. My microphone is, like, all twisted up right now. I'm going to twist it a little bit. Anyway, thank you to Chris Ell for joining us here in the last segment. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food from a healthier weight to more energy. When you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real dog food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. The what sorcery is this gets me every time. I try to pose the question, and then I just get no answers ever. So it's like I'm asking no one. It's like I'm asking no one. Back inside, not the Scraby Show, filling in for Gwen and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. And I would like to point out something that Maria said in the chat. It's 124 degrees in Palm Springs right now. I was also looking at a different... Now, I'm going to out myself...
Way too hot.
Way too hot.
Way too hot.
I'm going to out myself as another nerd part of my life, but I love weather stuff. Love it. And crazy stuff like this, like hot, hot, hot weather, I mean, obviously don't love to be a part of it, but I like to look at it around the country, see what's going on. 124 degrees in Palm Springs is pretty ridiculous. I was also seeing that Death Valley, where I have been before, is going to be like 133 degrees for the next 6 days or something like that.
Death Valley. Death is in the name.
Death Valley is definitely in the name. And so what I'm telling everybody is stay cool. Make sure you're drinking a lot of water. You would have put 25-year-old me in front of this microphone. I would have not cared one bit about everybody out there drinking water. But now that I'm almost 40, I do care about people, and I do know how important it is because when you get dehydrated, things go cattywampus really, really quick. Like, before the show, I'm not sure what was going on, but Nick shows up, and I looked white as a ghost because I just felt terrible. I don't know why. Drank some water, ate a little bit of food, felt better. Everybody should take care of themselves. But 124 degrees, oof, that is hot.
I think Sam went there on a brief vacation last season, like at this point in the season.
Oh.
Like last year, this time last year,
yes,
I think.
Yes, there was also something that he did. Oh, this was earlier in spring training when he took a day off and he went to go get to a spa. And it's something a guy named Garfield would do. But he went to a spa, and it was like a torrential downpour the entire time he was there. So poor Sammy. Poor Sammy couldn't even get to a spa and enjoy the nice day. Anyway, we're not going to end up doing the Big Five per se, but we are going to check our traffic, and then I'm going to bring up some of the other news stories that are happening around sports. All right, back here in the Odyssey Palace. It's getting late in the show, which means I'm getting weird behind the scenes. So if you're watching YouTube, that's why Nick's laughing. Anyway, let's see. I'm going to start with this one. And since I'm kind of by myself, I know I have Nick here, but I'm not going to go do the whole regular Big Five format. But I want to talk about something that deserves an asterisk for all time. Excuse me. Wow. Excuse me about that coughing right there. I'll be fine. This deserves an asterisk. Patrick Bertoletti wins the Men's Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Contest. He ate 58, and I have no idea when this became a term, but glizzies? I know that that's a term for a hot dog, and one day someone told me, hey, you want to go get a glizzy? I really thought they were talking about drugs, to be honest. And I was like, no, I'm good.
But right. They're
like,
where I'm from, it means something much different.
But okay, let's not talk about that.
No, it's not inappropriate. I think it means a gun, but I'm not going to go down that road.
Okay. You said you weren't going to go down that road, then you went down that road.
I did. I lied.
This sounds like a Matt's
but
grading
it wasn't
moment.
That ridiculous. I digress.
I know. But he ate 58 glizzies, according to ESPN, is what they said. A couple thoughts about this. And Nick, you can tell me if I'm wrong. This deserves an asterisk because Joey Chestnut was not in the competition. And we've been talking about this for weeks. Right? And he was...
Or like something of that nature.
He wasn't allowed to compete because he is being sponsored by a rival hot dog brand. Which, it's not... I think it's like... it's not like real meat. Gosh, what's it called? I'm getting to the end of the week and my brain is failing me. I can't remember what it's called. But Beyond?
Like the Beyond.
Or Incredible. Uh-huh. Like something like that.
I can do some Googling.
Anyway, Joey Chestnut was not allowed to compete in this Patrick Bertoletti one. 58 is what he ate. Joey Chestnut, 2023, 62 hot dogs. 2022, 63. 2021, 76. 2020, 75. 2019, 71. 2018, 74. 2017, 72. 2016, 70. I have no idea what happened in 2015 to Joey Chestnut, but he lost that one. Matt Stoney, which is a really great last name for this sort of competition, ate 62. And then going back to 2011, Joey Chestnut has won every single Nate competition since 2011 through 2023, except for 2015. And the 58 that Patrick Bertoletti put down is impressive, but he didn't have the GOAT. He didn't have the guy who is the best eater in the world.
He was banned barred from competing in the Nathan's contest. And someone said this in the chat as well. I believe it was a random ham. So thank you, random ham, in the chat.
Oh, Impossible.
Says he was barred for, yes, Impossible. After he signed an endorsement with Impossible Foods, who just recently launched a plant-based hot dog.
Which, I haven't tried the specific hot dog, but I have tried plant-based burgers before. I gotta say, they're pretty good.
Like, yeah, they're tasty, and to me, it definitely, you can tell it's not the same thing, but it is still, you know, it's filling. It's not like it's bad per se. I don't know. It's worth a try.
Back in the day, maybe years and years and years ago, Burger King had the Impossible Burger and the regular Whopper. So they had like an Impossible Whopper, and we were struggling for things to talk about. So I went to Burger King and I grabbed us an Impossible Whopper and a real Whopper. We had a taste test. And both of them were delicious, but you can definitely taste which one is not the real meat.
And, like, you know how when you eat food, obviously you can kind of, like, smell what you're eating.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that kind of is a very...
That is off-putting.
Yeah.
You're like, why should... It tastes like burger, but it doesn't smell like burger.
It's
I don't
a noticeable
know what to do
factor
here.
That your sinus definitely picks up, for sure.
It is. It is definitely. Now, I'm watching this video of Patrick Bertoletti, and this is my last thing on the hot dog eating competition. It is disgusting. It is so gross to watch. And, like, it's not the shoving of the dogs in the mouth. It's not the drinking of the water. It's not even... No, it's the bun. The bun being wet makes me shiver my spine.
A waterlogged bun.
A waterlogged bun. So I'm watching him right now. He's shoving both hot dogs in. He's dipping the bun in the water. Then he shoves the bun in his mouth. And he drinks some water to make sure that bun goes down. It is so gross to me to watch this. Because he's got like bun remnants all over his mouth and the front of his shirt. And it is so gross.
Overly saturated bun. And it's just so... It's like, what, 50 of them, right? Plus. So it's like a
58.
Lot of... A lot of saturated bun plus the meat itself.
It's so gross. I don't have any problems with entering a competition like that, but watching it for me is a problem. I can't watch... I have a fear of... How I say this without becoming a clip? Wet bread. I have a fear of wet bread. Like say there's a you eat a hamburger and you only eat half of it and then you throw it in the sink for the garbage disposal and then the bread, the bun is just like wet. I will have to leave the room for some reason. I cannot do it. It's so gross to me. But anyway, I think that hot dog eating competition was a sham yesterday. A sham, I tell you. All right, another topic we talked about earlier. Ha-Seong Kim's definitely having a weird year, but he's hit in 11 of his last 13 games. Currently tied for the lead in baseball in regards to games played with 89. Jerickson Profar and Bobby Witt Jr. are the others. But the question I was going to ask originally is, do you think Kim is still a good trade piece? And my answer is, I think he is a good trade piece because I don't think that teams are as scared off by his bad year, quote unquote. He's not having a bad year, but for him, he's having a down year. And I don't think necessarily that teams are going to really think, hey, this is who he is, and this is the guy that we don't want on our team because this is who we're going to acquire if we were to sign him. I still think that he is a good trade piece. I don't think I want to see him go. I don't. And the reason is because he plays... at times, he's struggled, but this year, his defense, and last year, his defense is solid. And you can count on Ha-Seong Kim to play every single day. And what's the phrase we always say? Your best ability is your availability, and that's what Ha-Seong Kim is. He's available, and he's always going to play. He's eaten up a little bit. I think that Ha-Seong Kim is still a good trade piece. And again, I let time run out on me, so we'll talk more about that, and we will hear from Jerks and Profar talking about his All-Star Game selection. So Sammy Garfield-Levitt did go down there and talk to Jerks and Profar. We'll talk more about some of the news of the day. And we will hear from Stephen Kolek at 5:20 on 97.3 The Fan. All right, back here in the Honesty Palace. It's getting late in the show, which means I'm getting weird behind the scenes. So if you're watching YouTube, that's why Nick's laughing. Anyway, let's see. I'm going to start with this one, and since I'm kind of by myself, I know I have Nick here, but I'm not going to go do the whole regular Big Five format, but I want to talk about something that deserves an asterisk for all time. Excuse me. Wow. Excuse me about that coughing right there. I'll be fine. This deserves an asterisk. Patrick Bertoletti wins the men's Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Contest. He ate 58, and I have no idea when this became a term, but glizzies? I know that that's a term for a hot dog, and one day someone told me, hey, you want to go get a glizzy? I really thought they were talking about drugs, to be honest. And I was like, no, I'm good.
But right. They're
like,
where I'm from, it means something much different.
But okay, let's not talk about that.
No, it's not inappropriate. I think it means a gun, but I'm not going to go down that road.
Okay. You said you weren't going to go down that road, then you went down that road.
I did. I lied.
This sounds like a Matt Scraby
moment. But it wasn't
that
ridiculous. I digress.
I know. But he ate 58 glizzies, according to ESPN, is what they said. A couple thoughts about this. And Nick, you can tell me if I'm wrong. This deserves an asterisk because Joey Chestnut was not in the competition. And we've been talking about this for weeks. Right? And he was...
or like something of that nature.
He wasn't allowed to compete because he is being sponsored by a rival hot dog brand, which it's not... I think it's like... it's not like real meat. Gosh, what's it called? I'm getting to the end of the week and my brain is failing me. I can't remember what it's called, but Beyond... Beyond?
The Beyond.
Or Incredible. Uh-huh. Like something like that.
I can do some Googling.
Anyway, Joey Chestnut was not allowed to compete in this Patrick Bertoletti one. 58 is what he ate. Joey Chestnut, 2023, 62 hot dogs. 2022, 63. 2021, 76. 2020, 75. 2019, 71. 2018, 74. 2017, 72. 2016, 70. I have no idea what happened in 2015 to Joey Chestnut, but he lost that one. Matt Stoney, which is a really great last name for this sort of competition, ate 62. And then going back to 2011, Joey Chestnut has won every single Nathan's competition since 2011 through 2023, except for 2015. And the 58 that Patrick Bertoletti put down is impressive, but he didn't have the GOAT. He didn't have the guy who is the best eater in the world.
He was banned barred from competing in the Nathan's contest. And someone said this in the chat as well. I believe it was a random ham. So thank you, random ham, in the chat.
Oh, Impossible.
Says he was barred for, yes, Impossible. After he signed an endorsement with Impossible Foods, who just recently launched a plant-based hot dog.
Which, I haven't tried the specific hot dog, but I have tried plant-based burgers before. I gotta say, they're pretty good.
Like, yeah, they don't. They're tasty, and to me, it definitely, you can tell it's not the same thing, but it is still, you know, it's filling. It's not like it's bad per se. I don't know. It's worth a try.
Back in the day, maybe years and years and years ago, Burger King had the Impossible Burger and the regular Whopper. So they had like an Impossible Whopper, and we were struggling for things to talk about. So I went to Burger King and I grabbed us an Impossible Whopper and a real Whopper. We had a taste test. And both of them were delicious, but you can definitely taste which one is not the real meat.
And, like, you know how when you eat food, obviously you can kind of, like, smell what you're eating.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that kind of is a very...
That is off-putting.
Yeah.
You're like, it tastes like burger, but it doesn't smell like burger.
It's
I don't
a noticeable
know what to do
factor
here.
That your sinus definitely picks up for sure.
It is. It is. It is definitely. Now, I'm watching this video of Patrick Bertoletti, and this is my last thing on the hot dog eating competition. It is disgusting. It is so gross to watch. And, like, it's not the shoving of the dogs in the mouth. It's not the drinking of the water. It's not even... No, it's the bun. The bun being wet makes me shiver my spine.
A waterlogged bun.
A waterlogged bun. So I'm watching him right now. He's shoving both hot dogs in. He's dipping the bun in the water. Then he shoves the bun in his mouth. And he drinks some water to make sure that bun goes down. It is so gross to me to watch this. Because he's got like bun remnants all over his mouth and the front of his shirt. And it is so gross.
Overly saturated bun. And it's just so, it's like, what, 50 of them, right? Plus, so it's like a lot of saturated bun plus the meat itself.
It's so gross. I don't have any problems with entering a competition like that, but watching it for me is a problem. I can't watch, I have a fear of, how do I say this without becoming a clip, wet bread. I have a fear of wet bread. Like say there's a, you eat a hamburger and you only eat half of it and then you throw it in the sink for the garbage disposal and then the bread, the bun is just like wet. I will have to leave the room for some reason. I cannot do it. It's so gross to me. But anyway, I think that hot dog eating competition was a sham yesterday. A sham, I tell you. All right, another topic we talked about earlier. Ha-Sung Kim's definitely having a weird year, but he's hitting 11 of his last 13 games, currently tied for the lead in baseball in regards to games played with 89. Jerickson Profar and Bobby Witt Jr. are the others. But the question I was going to ask originally is, do you think Kim is still a good trade piece? And my answer is, I think he is a good trade piece because I don't think that teams are as scared off by his bad year, quote unquote. He's not having a bad year, but for him, he's having a down year. And I don't think necessarily that teams are going to really think, hey, this is who he is, and this is the guy that we don't want on our team because this is who we're going to acquire if we were to sign him. I still think that he is a good trade piece. I don't think I want to see him go. I don't. And the reason is because he plays... at times, he's struggled, but this year, his defense, and last year, his defense is solid. And you can count on Ha-Sung Kim to play every single day. And what's the phrase we always say? Your best ability is your availability. And that's what Ha-Sung Kim is. He's available. And he's always going to play. He's eaten up a little bit. I think that Ha-Sung Kim is still a good trade piece. And again, I let time run out on me. So we'll talk more about that. And we will hear from Jerickson Profar talking about his All-Star Game selection. So Sammy Garfield-Levitt did go down there and talk to Jerickson Profar. We'll talk more about some of the news of the day. And we will hear from Stephen Kolek at 520 on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.